Now tonight, we're not good. There's one more night, and I'm sorry. I know. I haven't forgotten. We're in Revelation, okay? Haven't forgot it. But I guess because of the past few weeks, my mind's been elsewhere, and likewise, with what's coming up and where we've been, I think that there's some things that we need. So we're taking a little bit of step out. Lord willing, next Wednesday, we'll be back in Revelation. And so we're, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, we're going to be in mid-trib or something at that point. I have no idea. But we'll be back in it, Lord willing, next week, okay? Get your Bibles out. I have a place to go, and I have something the Lord has given me, I hope, and I pray for this evening. Be a help to you. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a familiar passage. Hebrews chapter 11, and I have some thoughts on it tonight that I believe will be a help to us and a help to us individually and personally. You know what? I'll say it like this. Initially, about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, my thought was, let's just cancel it. Because there was some little rough waters that we were going to go through. And, of course, safe is always somewhere we tend to want to go. It's, you know, I can be safe and we'll just cancel it. Yet. And I thought, you know, why do we do that? It's an opportunity and for the Lord. And besides that, it's not us, it's Him. And I'm praying, and I've been praying, that God would show, you know, I just said, the wrong is always the ones that are loud, and we want to be loud, you know, we want to get the voice of the gospel and singing and gospel music and praising Jesus Christ. We want to get it out there in public. And I want people to see that. But I also would like for Him to show me what He can do. Do you know why that we struggle with outreach on a personal level? Is because we struggle with what He can do. We put so much of it on ourselves that in light of what it would take, in light of all the difficulties or the obstacles, we're convinced that we're not going to be able to do it, or we may not do it well, or we might say something wrong, and it's all about us, when in fact that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of faith. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. You received Him by faith, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And so the Christian life is a walk of faith, if you would. The church at Rome was said, your faith is spoken of through the whole world. Well, I'm sure that they weren't talking throughout the whole world how they had a good story about how they went forward in church and prayed. That's not the faith that they were talking about. They were talking about their faith in Christ. I'm not saying they weren't saved, but so often our faith only goes to the point of a testimony of receiving Christ. I think in that case, what they were talking about is those things that accompany salvation. In other words, the walk, the life, the change. Remember the book of Acts? There were a bunch of people that got saved, and they brought their curious books, and they burned them. They didn't believe that was part of their salvation. No one said, well, you ought to do that. It was just, that was evidence that the new life inside of them said, these things aren't good. And so people would look at that and say, look at that faith. Look at that faith. Look at that faith. And so I want to spend a little bit of time in Hebrews chapter 11, because what we're going to do Saturday is a thing of faith. We are. We've got it by faith. We've rented it by faith. We're going to go down there by faith. We're going to listen by faith. We're going to listen to preaching by faith. We're going to hand out tracts by faith. Trusting that God will do something with it. That God will do something with us, and God will do something with it. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now right now, that's all I'm going to read. Look at it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It didn't say there that faith has substance. I wouldn't disagree that it does, but it says it actually put the identifier of faith on the substance. The identifier of faith on the evidence. Faith is substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Our text, faith is substance and faith is evidence. Then you go on, it says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. But faith is substance. As I said, it doesn't say that faith has substance. It says faith is substance. I wouldn't disagree that faith has substance. That's just not what it says. It doesn't say that faith has evidence. It says faith is evidence. That's not saying that faith is not believing, but it's like this faith has two sides, the one that's seen and the one that's not. Faith is the substance seen of things hoped for, unseen. The evidence seen of things not seen. James said, "Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Seen. So could I say it like this? Faith is the visible proof of an invisible possession. Faith is the visible proof of an invisible possession. It is the invisible possession, though, of a visible proof. Faith is the external evidence of an internal expectation. And it's the internal expectation of the external evidence. Here, he's emphasizing the fact that there's some things about faith you can't see. Did I really trust Christ? When I got saved, did I really trust Christ? He said, "Well, preacher, sure you did. How do you know? You can't see that." You get it? You ever lead someone to Christ? I've led people to Christ that didn't do anything outside bow their head and pray. There was no tears. There was no, whoo, there was nothing like that. And then I remember when Jane entrusted Christ, sitting at the table, she's sitting right here, her husband's right across from me, and I said, "Jane," and I said, "you understand the gospel?" "Yeah, I understand." And I said, "Well, tell me, it was a blessing to me. I said, do you believe that Jesus died for you?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And I said, would you believe that if you'd call on him, he'd save you?" "Yes, I do." I said, "Is that something you want to do?" She said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I want to be saved." And so we bowed our heads, and I said, "Now," and I did lead her, and I said, I'm gonna go ahead and give you an idea of what to pray. You can follow after me, but it's got to be you, and it's got to be from your heart, you know." And so we prayed, and she got done, and she lifted her head, and she said, "Oh," she said, "I feel like a weight has been lifted off of me." And boy, she was so bubbly and happy. I wasn't like that when I got saved. I'm thinking, I must not be saved. Man. And I've also had them where they just bowed their head and they trusted Christ and they said, "Thank you." You ever lead someone to the Lord and you say, "Did they get it?" Do you know why you say that? You say that because you can't see that invisible thing. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the proof of the possession that is invisible. It's the external evidence of the internal expectation. In verse 4, look what it says. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Faith was the sacrifice. You say, faith was the belief. He's describing here the whole idea of Hebrews 11 is the substance and the evidence. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. The substance and the evidence. I know it's things hoped for. I know it's things not seen. But he's saying it's the substance. Someone says, "Well, can someone have faith and not works?" James says that. I'm not sure I know an answer to that. He said, "Well, preacher, salvation is not of works." Well, I would agree with you with the exception of this. With the exception of you do have to call on him. The Abrahamic covenant was not an unconditional covenant. He said, "Well, I always heard it was because he said, 'Go get from my country and I'll make you a great nation.'" No, he had to get from his country. He had to leave his kindred. Tell me that God would have made him a great nation had not he taken care of that part of the covenant that was his job. Now, after he left, it was all on God. And after you called on him, it's all on God. After you received him, it's all on God. You know what Paul said? "But you not obeyed the gospel." He's talking about Israel. He said they've not obeyed the gospel. What of the gospel is to obey? "Ye must receive, but as many as received him, to them gave he power." We get so scared of works that we try to wipe everything out. I remember years ago, there was a people years ago that began to tell me, say, "Well, now repentance is not part of salvation because it's not of works." They're making repentance a work. I'm sorry, repentance is part of salvation. Amen. You don't come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, proud of it, save me. You don't do that. Nobody does that. You say, Philippian jailer, he didn't repent. When he said, what must I do to be saved? Repentance had already been worked in his life. It's not where I say, okay, let me get all my list down and see if I repent of this, repent of that. You know, if this, they turn it into one. You know, well, if you get saved, you got to repent of all your sin. I don't remember them all. Does anybody here remember all your sins? How many are glad you don't? Amen. Amen. If it comes, but the fact is, you know, repenting of sin, the Bible says that salvation is a part of repenting toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. What are your repentance towards God? Do you know before you get saved, you're at enmity with God? You know what enmity is? It's a warfare. It's an opposition. What do you mean? You oppose. God says you're a sinner. You say you're not that bad. God says you're going to die and go to hell. You think you're a pretty good person. God says this. Man says that. God declares this. Man declares that. And repentance is when you turn and you look at God and say, God, you're right. And I'm wrong. And when that Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Repentance had already been worked in him. When I tugged on my mom's skirt many years ago and said, Mom, I want to get saved. The Spirit of God had already smote me that I was lost. And I didn't want to be lost. And so I didn't turn around and say, Mom, would you please take me forward? Because I'm in the process of repenting right now and I want to get up there in time to call on him. No, I just said, I want to be saved. And I said that because, you know, somehow we try to get into A, B, C, D, stuff like that, and that is not it. Fact is the faith was the sacrifice. In verse 7, faith was building the ark. In verse 8, that was the substance. In verse 8, faith was Abraham's obedience in leaving his country and kindred. And in verse 9, faith was sojourning. All the way down in verse 17, faith was him offering Isaac up. And if you'd look over in verse 24 through 27, in Moses' case, faith was refusing verse 24 and choosing verse 25 and esteeming verse 26 and forsaking verse 27 and enduring verse 27, all being the evidence of something that was invisible. Look at the end of verse 27. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It is the evidence of things not seen. In whom having not seen, ye believe, the Bible says. You've never seen Jesus Christ. All by an eye of faith, I understand the eye of faith, but you've never seen him, yet you believe in him, and you've hung every bit of your eternal hope for your soul on someone you have never seen. Only by the faith that comes from this book, you've hung your hope on him. And there's evidence. Evidence. There's substance. Paul said, we believe greater things you and things that accompany salvation. I still think there's things that accompany salvation. The Apostle Paul quit persecuting Christians. He started preaching Jesus Christ. The people with the curious books brought them and burned them. It wasn't a revival meeting where the evangelist said, bring your albums and bring your CDs. We're going to have a breaking. Wouldn't that? They just looked and said, I don't think God's pleased with that anymore. You get saved, you have the Spirit of God in you, don't you? These are not hard questions, folks. You should say, amen, something. You get saved, you got the Spirit of God in you, don't you? Is he able to guide you in all truth? Is he able to convict you and deal with you? Amen. This faith. Faith. Faith is the substance and faith is evidence. Let me say this. With this thought, we understand the common statement of the Lord to his disciples. I'm going to talk to you about faith tonight, okay? There was a common statement he made. Take your Bibles to the book of Luke 24, would you? Luke 12, not 24, Luke 12. Luke chapter 12, this thing called faith. Chapter 12, and I want you to look, if you would, in verse... Just look what it says in verse 22. I got a few verses to read. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What's he talking about? He's talking about the cares of this life. Is it not? He's talking about paying $4 potentially for gas in a gallon. and $10 for hamburger. We still have 3.5 more years of the guy. If I could encourage you to go out and plan on 2022 to... Now, I'm making it political. We worry about those things. We worry about those things. He said, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. When it comes to what you put on, some people take that, don't care about it more than others do. I mean, just... Some people go out and they didn't give a lot of consideration whatsoever about what they put on, right? Verse 23, and the life is more than meat and the body more than the raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow neither reap, or sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you can take, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubic? And if ye... Then being not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? The subject is the cares of the world. I want you to stay with me because the real point of the whole lesson is at the end. The subject cares the things of the world. Little faith obviously can cause us to question God's care for us. He said, why are you worried about this? He said, why do you take care for this stuff, O ye of little faith? They can try themselves. They can make a solid effort themselves not to worry. Now here, I'm getting into a little bit of the point that I want to make tonight. Did you hear me? I have to not worry. I'm not going to worry. Can I tell you what I think one of the biggest problems with every one of us in living the Christian life is we do it most of the time through the energy of the flesh and will worship. You know what will worship is? I will not. It's that simple. The preacher preached on love, and I'm going to go out, and I am going to love better. I think you made mention, what are those two, that two couple? What was that tape, Lois, was it Lois or Doris and Henry? Yeah. Spreading the love, yeah. If you never heard Doris and Henry, you need to get him, you need to get a, it's this two, they're pillars of the community, or pillars in the assembly. And everywhere they go, they find Bob Johnson there. On visitation, there's Bob Johnson. And they're always the head in the church to say, oh, we're going to a missions conference, spreading love. Well, there's Bob Johnson. You'd have to hear it, okay? You'd have to have been there. But the fact is we spend so much time trying to live the Christian life that cannot be lived outside of faith. But we try to force it. I'm going to do this. I don't raise your hands, but how many people here have ever, I'm not necessarily saying this is altogether bad, but because of maybe an intimidation you have in talking to someone or giving a tract to someone, you drop your forehead like, I'm going to do this. If it breaks me, I'm going to do this. And you go up there and you hand it to them. But in really retrospect, there was no faith in it. It wasn't God may use this, God might use me. It was simply, I'm going to do this. Well, you did it. I think there's a lot of that. I think there's a lot of self-effort that doesn't really require faith. Don't raise your hands, but how many people have just gotten used to what you give? Remember when you first started? I don't know if I can live without this. And you lived without it. But it got to the place where it was like any other bill. You just put it down there and you're just used to not having it. And it requires no more faith. Remember what I told you? You'll remember this, but you remember over there in 2 Chronicles, Asa's there in that battle. Remember? That 2-1 battle he's going to end up fighting, and God miraculously gives them the victory to it. He said, you're able to save by many or by those that have no strength. And he takes 500,000 men, he destroys a 1,000,000-man army. No, God did it. Next chapter. It says there was no more war to the 30 and 5th year of Asa. After that, he has this small army that comes after him, and he hires the Syrian to come in and help him. A prophet comes along and said, "Wait, was there no God? What's the thing?" He said, "How is it you can trust God for me and man and this smaller army you can't?" And I always wondered that. You can trust God for a million man army and taking half the people and fighting them. You have faith for that in your God. He can save by many of those that have no strength. And all of a sudden now you got this small case and you're hiring mercenaries? And then one day as I was reading, I came across that verse where it says, "And there was no more war until the 35th year of his reign." You see, that million man army had been the 10th year of his reign. That means there was 25 years. Listen. And he didn't have to trust God. There was no battle. There was no struggle. There was no difficulty. There was no great problem that raised up. There was no insurmountable trial that they were in. Everything was just smooth. And so when that battle came along, a much lesser battle, a smaller battle, he didn't know how to walk by faith anymore. Y'all get that? Can I tell you something? That's our problem. Does anybody here seriously pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," when you have probably 3 weeks of food sitting in the refrigerator in the cabinets? You see my point? We don't have to trust God. And then sometimes God will throw us into a circumstance, and it doesn't have to be a big one, especially when you come to the comfort zone that we live in so often. And man, it just throws us into a spin. I am ashamed at what really kicks me in the gut. I am. Faith. "O ye of little faith." That's the statement the Lord made over and over again. "O ye of little faith." Look at Matthew 8. Go there, Matthew chapter 8. Boy, you're really quiet tonight. Can you just clear your throats or something so I know you're... Matthew 8, verse 23, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he said unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?'" The worry was in Luke 12. You got these concerns of this life and the things of this life. "O ye of little faith." Here in Matthew 8, it's a fear in the midst of a storm. I'd like to say I don't have that, but I do. Isn't it amazing how quickly we can forget that the Lord's in the boat? Isn't it amazing how we can forget that the Lord is in the house? The Lord is in the tabernacle. The Lord is in the church. Isn't it easy how we tend to forget that? And boy, the panic begins to play. In other gospels, it said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Lack of faith will cause us to question the way of the Lord. We'll question the way of the Lord. Why? Lack of faith. But I'm sure that if you are struggling with the concerns of this life and all the turmoil of this life, I'm certain that if you will just put your forehead to the grindstone and just have a little bit more willpower and a little bit more stubbornness and a little bit more guts, I'm sure you can push through it. Or if you're questioning God's care, and I'm in a storm, and I don't know if I'm going to survive, I'm sure if you just get a little more stoic about it, I'm sure you can make it. And yes, I'm being sarcastic and for effect, because that's how we do it. I'm amazed. I don't think I saw it myself, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the endurance of the human will. I really am. Well, sometimes what we call, listen, just the ability to bear down up under something and go through it. How many remember Christopher Reeves? Superman, right? So on that horse threw him, and he was paralyzed from the neck down, spent the last several years of his life, all the rest of them, obviously, in a chair and a machine breathing for him and that. And I got to tell you, as I watched him and listened to him, I thought, man, I can't believe how that guy's going through that. Do anybody see it? I can't believe he's going through it. He wasn't saved. He didn't have the Spirit of God. He didn't have faith. You know what you saw? You saw the human spirit. That's what you saw. Does anybody sit back and say, wow? So you realize, listen, that's what the world does. The world sits back and looks at us, and they have their trophies. They have their ones and say, look how they persevered and how they went through this and how they went through that. And they went through it just with the human spirit. But we have the Spirit of God and we're supposed to have faith. Shouldn't ours excel beyond theirs? Heard Dr. Ruckman many years ago preach a message on excel in righteousness. The old idea was, he said, you know, the world's got these things. He said, but we as Christians, he said, we ought to excel in them. I remember one of them, he said, we ought to excel in giving. I remember the message. It was on cassette tape. I wasn't there. It was back in 78 when he preached it at Landmark Baptist Temple. I was not there, but I wore the tape out, cassette tape. You all remember what those are, right? I wore the tape out listening to it. I listened to it so much I could have probably preached the message, actually. And I remember he said this. He said, giving. He said, Christians ought to excel in giving. He said, listen to me, listen. He said, I know lost businessmen that give more than 10% to a cause that isn't worth 2 cents. Do you realize how much money has been given to climate control? How much money has been given to population control? Do you think the Gates Foundation is funding any missionaries? Yeah, that's a funny one, isn't it? Yeah. But the fact is, they do it because they believe in it. That's not faith. That has nothing to do with the faith of God. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. They give like that because they can, they want to, and they believe in what they're doing. And it's all a human thing is what it is. Oh, ye of little faith. He said it many times. Look at Matthew 14. Go there, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, not bad, 3 steps. No, he didn't. He said, I mean, do you realize Peter has walked further on the water than you have? The guy who spoke and thought later always had his foot in his mouth. That guy who was presumptuous in his actions, this guy walked further on water than you ever have. Shouldn't someone say, good job? You know what the Lord said? He said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Doubt. The issue was getting his eyes off the Lord and getting on his circumstances. You know what the problem was? I got to get my eyes off the circumstances. Well, I'd agree with that. But once again, you're going back to the eye. Listen. If you think that Noah built an ark for 120 years and was the reproach of the world, mocked like a crazy nutcase, just because he had endurance in himself, you're crazy. The Bible says, no, he did it. An extraordinary feat. He did it. An amazing task. And he did it by faith. He built the ark. Look up here. The ark was the substance. It was the physical evidence of a faith you could not see. But how many would agree? He must have had faith. But why do you say that? Look at that boat. I've been down to the ark a few times. Took some missionaries down there, a couple pastors down there. We've gone through it. I'll tell you the biggest deal. You know what the biggest deal is? The biggest deal is once that bus pulls around, you get off. You're there and you're going, wow. And to have one guy do that, I mean, It takes, you know how long it takes me to get my step, my extension ladder out and get it all out and lay it up and get it up there and get on the roof and clean out the gutters? I'm looking and say, how did he get up there, man? And he stayed at it. You say, how? Faith. We all will only go so far. We all will only stay so steadfast in our own power. And boy, there's a point where you reach. And if you don't have an increase in faith, as a matter of fact, that was said, we'll talk about it and say, increase our faith. Look in, matter of fact, you can act like you're not fearful. I remember the first time I went out on the street. I'm supposed to preach on the street. I thought when I started to preach, it was all behind pulpits. That's what I thought. And here's this preacher. He says, I'll take you on the street. And I said, what? And we go down right across from Finley Market. No, this is not an alley somewhere. This is not a dirt road in the country with cows. This is Finley Market. And I'm standing there. And I think more than ever in my life to that point, I am praying, even so come Lord Jesus, even so come Lord Jesus. I want to go. Oh, I was a nervous wreck. But all the way down in the car, my pastor said, you okay? Yep, I'm fine. You guys ever try to hide it? But it's there. Faith, it's not there. Faith sponges it away. Faith quenches it. Faith raises up in you, and there's a boldness, and there's a no concern. And all of a sudden, what you have forced yourself to do and tried to make yourself do and tried to hide the fear, all of a sudden, it is so natural that you yourself are amazed. Can I ask you a question? For three steps, and I know the Bible didn't say three steps, but for three steps, what do you think Peter thought? I mean, I know if I put my foot down on... And I went, wow! Wouldn't you? Do you guys not think this way when you read the Bible? Wow! Honestly, so help me, this is me. Once I got both of them out there, I'd be thinking, just to see if I'd land solid on that. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? But I promise you this, when he stuck that foot out there and he got that other foot out there, at least for a moment, he knew, this is not me. Did you get that? This is not me. I've talked to preachers that could not look you in the face when they spoke to you. They'd stutter around nervous and they didn't know what to say and they were very quiet. You get them behind the pulpit and they became another man. You say, why? Because it wasn't them. And can I say this just as a sidebar real fast? Saturday night, listen, if you're going to go down there and be down there Saturday night, if anything's going to get accomplished, it's not because of you and me, it's going to be because of him. I think God desires to do something in such a way to where we have to say, that was God. Gideon, you have too many. Who ever heard of an army of too many? God. He said, tell everyone that's afraid to go home. And he lost tens of thousands just like that. I mean, the mass majority are just leaving. And if I was still there, I'd think, are you kidding me? All these guys were afraid. I'd have been scared to death if I knew that much of the army was scared. And so he's probably sitting there thinking, okay, all right, we still got this. Gideon, you still have too many. If I give you the victory with that many, you'll think you did it. You'll think you did it. Read the book of Ezekiel. Matter of fact, Aaron was talking about it. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you cannot miss the repeated statement that they may know that I am the Lord. That they may know that I am the Lord. That ye may know that I am the Lord. God wants to do something with us. To where everybody says, including us. We walk away as stunned as they are. That had to be God. Take your Bibles. I'll give you this. You must be honest with yourself, more importantly. You can act like you're not fearful. You can act like you're doubting or not doubting. You act like you're not concerned. But if you're going to get faith, you're going to have to be honest with God and honest with yourself. I think we need a great revival of Christians being honest. I just struggle with this. I just struggle with that. And you have to tell me, but you really ought to tell God. God, I just struggle with this. I'm sorry. God, I know it should be beyond this in my Christian life, but I'm not, Lord, and I want to be. Take your Bibles real fast. Go over to the book of Mark real fast. No matter how often I say real fast, the pages sound like they're turning at the same speed. Mark 9, please. Mark 9. Verse 24, you know the story. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, this father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, one of the most honest men, but help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. If you're going to get more faith, you're going to have to be honest with God that you're lacking in it. Matter of fact, I was looking at that. I don't know if you do this or not, but I think the previous verses shed light on verse 24. Look at verse 14 and stay with me here real quickly, okay? Stay with me. And when he, Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribe questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground with wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father said, how many believe that dad wanted his boy healed? Do you realize how vulnerable he was when he said, help thou mine unbelief? The one that was going to heal him just said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And he's going to admit unbelief. Will it mess up the chance that this one, this son of God, this savior, will heal my boy if I admit that I'm struggling? You see that? Can I show you a couple things on this? First of all, the disciples, the picture is this. In other words, we see what he said, but here's the picture. The disciples are ministering without the presence of the Lord, and the Lord shows up. And he sees a multitude and scribes, and his disciples are being questioned by the scribes. Am I right? He says this. He steps in and asks the scribes what they were questioning them about. Look in verse 17. And one of the multitude say it. He didn't ask this guy. This is the dad. This is not a scribe. And all of a sudden I've realized, okay, I see this scene. You've got the dad bringing the boy to the disciples and say, can you get this out of my son? Maybe there was a multitude or not, but man, maybe, you know, Peter tried and then John tried and maybe they all tried their hand. I don't know. And none of them could do it. And all of a sudden the scribes that did not believe in Christ, they began to gather around and if you would debate and criticize and ridicule the disciples. How many are seeing it? The Lord shows up and said, what are you asking them? But it wasn't they that answered. I think they probably feared the Lord. They knew he had shut the mouths of the Pharisees. It's kind of like a neighbor, an old rotten neighbor that'll jump on your kids but won't jump on you. And so these scribes are jumping on the disciples, but then Jesus says, what are you asking them about? And they look back and they're not the ones that ask the question. One of the multitude, the father said, it was all about, he started it. And they all started gathering around and the criticizing and so on. He said, I brought my son to your disciples. That's where it all began. He said, bring him to me. He probably watched 12 of them try and that didn't work. And then he saw the scribes. How many would agree the scribes probably could have backed those disciples into a corner with their knowledge of the law and their knowledge of the scriptures? And I could see it being, if you would, somewhat of an argumentative bloodbath on their side. This father doesn't care. All this father is doing is reaching, if you would, he's going further into the state of despair over his son. Because 12 people couldn't do it, and now they're being barbecued, and they can't answer the scribes. And can you see where he's saying, what am I going to do? And then Jesus shows up and says, what are you guys asking him? I brought my son. I don't think he was argumentative. I think he was in despair and depression. He said, bring him to me. And as he brought him, the child fell down and began to wallow around and foaming. And my guess is my dad saw that. Would it rip your heart out? And he's looking at that child. He says, if there's anything you can do, help us. He didn't say, I know you can do all. He didn't say like the centurion, listen, I'm a man of authority. If you just speak it, it'll happen. None of that. He said, if you can do anything, please have compassion on us. He said, all things are possible if you can believe. And the dad said, I do believe, but please help thou mine unbelief. You know what the dad was admitting? I don't have enough faith for this. Now you listen to me. When I first thought a few weeks ago about this Saturday thing, my first thought was, I'll just cancel it. You say, why? I hadn't been involved in the detailing of it. I had to catch up with that and get other people. And there's a lot of logistic things and so on like that. And my first thought was, you say, why? Because honestly, I just at that moment, wasn't thinking by faith. I was thinking by pragmatism. And then I thought, no, Lord, you know what? This is an opportunity. And besides that, it's not how well we perform. It's not how good we are and how smart we are and how many people we have. I don't want to show up there with 7, but if we do, we're going to sing and they're going to sing. And we're going to trust God to do something. Have you ever been in a situation where you say, I don't think I have faith for this? You know what you do? Some people just put their head down, but I'm going to act like I do. What you should do is bow your head and say, God, you that knoweth the hearts of all men, you know my thoughts afar off. You know I'm struggling with this. I'm sorry because I guess that's kind of a slap towards you. You can do everything. Why can't I believe that when something big hits my world? You see, we have a lot more in common with a dad than you think we do. God, how big did you say the boat's supposed to be? I don't have enough faith for that. What an extraordinary man Noah must have been. You say, why? Because his faith was that boat. What an extraordinary man that Abraham must have been. You say, why? Because his faith was putting his own son on that altar and preparing to sacrifice his son. You've got faith for that? Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith can be seen. So often, we're the ones that need to see it. In Luke 17, you won't go there for the sake of time, but you know what it says in Luke 17? It's where the Lord said, I think it was Peter said, how many times do we forgive? 7? He said, well, I say 70 times 7. 490 times. You know what the disciples said if they heard that? Increase our faith. Now, you may not be able to connect forgiving with faith. But you don't have to connect it in an understanding way. You just have to know that our life is a life of faith. And if God calls me to do it, then I need faith to do it if I'm going to do it right. At that moment, what the disciples were saying is what you're asking of me, I don't have the faith for 400 nights. I said seven. I think I could do seven. But I do not have the faith for 490. Fact is, we need more faith. I'm just about done. If you're still with me right now, can you give me an amen? Luke, or right now, listen to this. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 now, please. So I want to look through these things. I want to give you some thoughts real fast. Number one, in chapter 11, verse 4, in Abel, I see faith in loss. Faith in loss. Isn't that sacrifice? There's sacrifice there. But he was a keeper of the flock. He knew those sheep. Those shepherds, it wasn't just a matter. I think you made mention, John, when you had little goats that you get attached to them. That man, he's got that. He's raised that sheep. He's watched out for that sheep. Remember David? He risked his life for one. And now he takes that sheep and he goes down one side and goes down the other side, and he has that juggler that's just spewing out the blood. And don't tell me there's not a feeling of loss in that. Loss. Faith in loss. Sacrifice is loss. Abel had to care for this one of the flock also, and now he's sacrificing it. And if I'm going to lose, Lord, I got to have faith. You say, why? Because sometimes you lose things you don't like to lose. You lose things that you don't, it makes no sense why you lost them. It might even be unfair why you lost them. If I'm going to get through this thing right, I just can't buckle down and have determination. I need more faith, because faith can cause me to smile in the midst of loss. So how can that be? Because I know I've pleased my God. I know it's exactly what God wanted. Look up here for a second. Several years ago, many years ago, here at the church, we had a slow bleed where a family would leave, and then after we got over that, another family would leave, and it went on for quite some time, and it'd grow very, very, very weary. I won't go into it, but I thought I knew what the Lord was doing, and in retrospect, I do know what the Lord was doing. I did. But I remember more than one time I would say, in really just being down and discouraged, I would say, Lord, I think I know what you're doing. I said, but if I'm right, could you please give me something? I don't even know what I was asking. Just some kind of a token for good. Something. And every time I asked that, he would come through unequivocally with something. I'm saying, Lord, thank you. By the way, in the past 2 weeks, I've been praying the same thing. The reason I did that, we all know what it's like for something to feel right and find out it's wrong. But that's not the tough one. The tough one is when it feels wrong and yet it's right. And at that time, it felt so wrong. It felt so wrong. And you got to have faith to get through that. You say, why? Because your feelings aren't going to work. The feelings are telling you this is not right. This is not the way it is. Feelings won't help you where faith only can take you. Abel, I see in Abel, faith in loss. In verse 7, in Noah, I see faith in reproach. What do you mean? For 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. You think they applauded him? You know, it's one thing when you're asked to do something difficult. It's another thing when you do it alone. It's another thing when you do it alone and everybody mocks you doing it. If you're going to get through that, you better have faith. What an extraordinary man that Noah was. 120 years. I wonder if his boys ever said, Dad, please. I mean, you remember Job, don't you? His wife? Do you still hold your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Thank you. That's what I needed right now. Every fiber of my being is just trying to hold on to my integrity and not lose it. And that's the last thing I needed. Thank you. A dear friend of mine I won't give the name, but a dear friend of mine in the ministry lost his boy, his college-age boy. He went and he preached the funeral. After he came back from preaching the funeral, it was a sudden death. I mean a sudden death. Came back from preaching the funeral, he told me, he said, I went in, it rained when we were gone. I went downstairs and their finished basement had flooded. And he said, I was on the steps and I said, God, why don't you just kick me? But you know what? Through that whole thing, that was when he did the funeral. I talked to him several months later and he said, you have no idea what God has done through my son's death. There's missionaries that are on the field and young men that are surrendering to preach. And the way he was handling that, I thought, God, you've done something in that guy's heart. Amen. Noah, I see faith in reproach. In verse 8, in Abraham, I see faith in obedience. In verse 9, Abraham, I see faith in limbo. Limbo, yes, look in verse 9. By faith he sojourned. You know what sojourning is? I'm not building here, I'm not planning here, I'm just kind of hanging out here for a while. He was sojourning. Have you ever felt like your life was in limbo? It's those times of our life that our faith is tried, if you would, just to stay put. Just to stay where you're at. Could I say this? That's what all of us are supposed to be doing as Christians down here. This world's not our home. We're supposed to be sojourning. Where's our home? It's there. But how many would agree? It requires faith just to keep my roots from going too deep down here. But we can try to keep on ourselves and push ourselves forward, and or we can get on our face and say, God, I need more faith. It shouldn't be this difficult. If I had faith, I don't believe it would be. In Sarah, verse 11, in Sarah, I see faith in attempting what you've given up. I don't mean this to be crude or rude, but Abraham's 100 years old, she's 90, and God said he's going to give him a child. Their childbearing years are over. Even trying to have a child would be over. You ever give up on something? No use. It's not going to work. Boy, this is, forget it. What you need is need more faith. The substance is faltering because the substance on the outside, the substance, if you would, the proof will never be greater than the possession. Never. Verse 17, in sacrificing Isaac, I see faith in Abraham performing what made literally no sense. In verse 27, in Moses, I see faith in enduring. Don't raise your hands, but anybody here ever felt like giving up? I thank God for the faith that has kept me here for these years. It certainly hasn't been me. It certainly has not been me. All right, I'm going to finish up. You may not be able to see the connection between faith and your trial, but it's the invisible possession that manifests itself in the proof. Well, I don't understand what you mean, preacher. Well, Saturday is filled with what ifs. What if no one comes? What if there's trouble? So on. The what ifs of life can and will keep us on the sideline of the Christian life. The what ifs. What if this? What if that? Faith is what pushes me through, and the what ifs and the concern and the care and the worry, that's what keeps me on the sideline. I'm on the sideline when it comes to witnessing. I'm on the sideline when it comes to giving. I'm on the sideline when it comes to preaching. I'm on the sideline when it comes to being a faithful member of the church. Faith gets you off the sideline. Preacher, I still don't understand the connection between that and some of these things. You don't have to. Ours is a life of faith. And if you get more faith, you'll understand there is a connection, whether you understand that connection or not. Amen. I don't know if I can afford to give, or I don't really want to give. Well, that's going to keep you on the sideline. I struggle with walking up to someone and starting conversation. Well, you know, as long as you look at that, you need more faith, what you need. Faith can take you to the place of boldness. Faith can take you to the place, it's not even a stepping out of your comfort zone. Faith somehow sponges away the comforts or those worry zones and that little sheltered box we live in. Faith. God, 490, I can't, God. They didn't say that. They said, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to need more faith. Preacher, if I'm going to go down there Saturday and give a tract to anybody, I'm going to need more faith. Okay, fine. And say, God, would you please help me to see that you can do something? If you can do something with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you can do something with a little piece of paper I give to somebody. Amen. I could go on and on, but what you need is for the internal invisible to grow. It's what we all need. What you need is to see him that is invisible. The problem becomes that what's on the inside just can't support the outside anymore. Again, you may not be able to make a connection between faith and victory, sacrifice, endurance, effort, dealing with approach, but it's there. You need faith. All these people did these things by faith. All these people went through these things by faith. I'll give you a closing one, okay? I won't ask you to go there for the sake of time, and we'll finish things up this evening. But if you went to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, I believe it is, God calls Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to send you to a hard people. Everybody give me a hard look. She's smiling. What's that? Maybe I understand why you can't. Give me a hard look. Go ahead. Oh, forget it. You're hopeless. That's your. Okay. He goes to a people that are hard. He says, Ezekiel, he said, you're going to a hard people. He said, but I've made your face harder to them than theirs is to yours. Look up here. How does Ezekiel know that? How does he know that? He doesn't. He just has to walk in light of what God said. You know what that is? That's faith. And so if it comes to witnessing, learn to walk in light of what God said. When it comes to hoping, walk in light of what God said. Because that is faith. So he goes up, if you would, to the door of the first hard person. And he's standing there as they're getting ready to open the door, and he's thinking, my face doesn't feel any harder. He maybe gets out his phone and he puts it on that mirror thing, you know, and looks at it like that and says, I don't look any different. But it's not a matter of what he can see. It's a matter of what God said. But if he'd believe what God said, then there'd be substance. The reason why that we lack in substance is because we lack in hope. The reason why we lack in evidence is because we have a hard time seeing the unseen. So Lord willing, I pray that we see the unseen Saturday. I pray that we walk out and maybe can only muster up, wow, wow, that had to be God. Wouldn't you like to see something like that in your life? That was God. That all that could be was God. You know what that'll do? That'll help you. Amen.